Good morning, 12th Street. All right, five of you heard me. Good morning, 12th Street. It is good to see you out this morning. If you notice, there are a few things that look a little more spruced up around the church, especially a couple areas that it's real noticeable is outside. There are several trees that were random growth trees. They're gone. And it was not the storm. The storm did not blow them away. We had a bunch of people come yesterday and work at our workday. And if you came and helped at the workday, could you just stand up so we could say thank you to you for helping yesterday? We appreciate. There were a lot of people here. We got a lot done. So thank you very much for coming out and working. And as we enter into a new season, right? Yesterday was a good reminder that we're into a new season, right? Yesterday we canceled our youth event because of the rain. So we are trying to reschedule for next Saturday. So if next Saturday works, then if you could get on the Facebook page and let us know that you will attend. We need to make reservations again and all of that. But the youth will be going to Harvest Moon Acres in Goebbels, and we will meet at 7:30 p.m., and we will have a bonfire and lots of donuts and cider and fun. Same thing works. If you bring a visitor, it's free. If you don't bring a visitor, it's $8. And then for any that are college age, on Wednesday nights, we have our college group that meets, and we're also going to invite the college age to come out. They won't be with the youth. They'll be doing their own thing, but they can come out that night as well at 7:30 and meet us there. And on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 27th. Also, we have coming up this weekend the Trunk or Treat, and that is on Friday. So we still need several more cars. And you say, well, what is needed of me if I bring my car? You bring your car, you open up the trunk, and you bring candy and hand out the candy. If you cannot bring candy because you can't afford it or can't get to buy any, let me know. We'll help provide you some candy to hand out. But we would love to have as many cars as possible. It's a lot of fun. The teens will be running games inside, and there will be food available, I believe, for purchase. And it's just a very, very fun night. It starts at 6 p.m., ends at 8 p.m., and we'd like to just invite you to be out to be part of that. We have a baby dedication next Sunday. So next Sunday during the morning service, we have a few babies that have been born, and some of the parents have been bugging me saying, hey, when are we going to do this baby dedication? And you say, well, what's a baby dedication? Well, it's more of a parent dedication than it is anything, but we do call it a baby dedication. So if you have a baby that hasn't, you haven't been able to participate with that, see me and we will include you in that part of the service. Next Sunday, we also have a business meeting following the morning service, and we will be voting on whether or not to bring in Carl as the assistant pastor of Connections and Discipleship. And so if you have any questions about that, contact myself. Or you can call the church office and talk to us about that. But that vote will be next Sunday after the morning service. And I've had several people ask me, can we do an absentee ballot? The Constitution reads this way. It says that the calling of a pastor will take place with a three-quarters vote of those present at the meeting. And so we cannot do absentee ballots because the Constitution clearly states it has to be those present at the meeting. And if you want to change that, we'll have to change it for another time. Cannot be changed for this vote. So you must be present to vote for the assistant pastor. Upward is coming on very quickly, and so we'd like to encourage you, if you know someone that would like to participate in that, get them signed up. It's for children ages basically preschool through sixth grade. And if you have an interest in coaching or helping with Upward, every Saturday we could use some people to help out, share your testimony. If you'd like to take one Saturday and all day share your testimony, you'll have about 1,000 people you'll be able to share your testimony with that day in groups of about 100 120 to 100 and, well, 200. And it's a really great opportunity to share your testimony. So if you'd like to do that, let us know as well. We have the baby bottles out there for that we're giving a donation to Alternatives Counseling. It's a pro-life group. And so if you'd like to put some money in the baby bottles, they're out all month. And at the end of the month, we will take those to a gala fundraiser that they're having. And if you'd like to have a table at that gala fundraiser, there's information in the bulletin, but also you can call the church office and we can give you more information about that. And then coming up very quickly, there's an election. And if you like to receive information about where the candidates stand, I simply went to Right to Life and got some information from Right to Life. And there's, if you would like to know where the candidates stand, who Right to Life recommends, you can see that. That's at the Welcome Center. If you don't care about that and you have other things that you care about, then I would encourage you to research those things and vote. But all I've researched and all I found to give to people at the church is Right to Life's voter guide. You say, well, it looks very partisan. It's not. It's based on the life issue. And for those who live in Kalamazoo, actually, it goes against the normal party lines with that and recommends somebody that is not in the norm. So it's not partisan. It's just simply based on what the candidates feel about the issues of life. And for the rest of the announcements, you can read your bulletin. There's a lot in there. And today is a special day. We have a baptism this morning. And a couple weeks ago, Jace Fields came forward during the service, and he gave his life to Jesus. And today he wants to show that by being baptized. And so we're excited about that. So let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. You are a wonderful God, because today, even though it's cold outside, and even though yesterday we got to experience all four seasons in one day, we just thank you, God, that it shows us who you are. You are a God of creativity. And sometimes we lose that in our logical thinking. Sometimes we lose that in the very straightforward nature of Scripture. But Lord, I thank you today that we can celebrate the creative God that you are. And even though we celebrate Christmas as when Jesus came to be born of a virgin and to take on human flesh, I thank you, Lord, that there are many times in the Old Testament where Jesus came, showing himself in human form and dealing with the issues that were happening that day. And Lord, today as we look at Hagar, and we see when the first time recorded in Scripture where Jesus actually came and visited a human and did it in human flesh, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who cares about each one of us individually. There is not a single problem that anyone faces today that you don't care about. And so, Lord, we do pray for those who are going through hard times. We pray for those who are struggling through illness, struggling through job issues, struggling through family issues. We pray, God, that you would meet them, that you would show them the love that you have for them, and that today we could leave healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for Jorge and Jacqueline and the birth of their son, Roman. And we thank you, Lord, for healthy mother and healthy baby. And so now, Lord, we just pray that you receive all the honor and glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, we did have a video he was going to show during an announcements, and he forgot about it. So go ahead and have a seat. We'll show this video for the Allen family.
Hey everybody, we are so excited about what's going on in Uganda. You know, you've heard us talk about the new land that we purchased earlier this year, 10 acres of land in a remote part of Uganda where there's 1 million unreached people that have never heard the gospel. We're so excited about it, and we're going to build a mission center there in that part of the country of Uganda. And so we've got a really big goal to build that mission center. We want to raise all the funds by the end of this year.
Oh, give me land, lots of land.
Stop.
Don't fish me in.
Stop.
Hey, we're going to fish in our land.
No, what we have is a brand new fundraising campaign called Feet Squared.
Feet Squared.
I want to explain to you what Feet Squared is all about.
Walking in 10 square feet.
In the book of Romans, in chapter 10, the Bible talks about how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel of peace. And as we expand into new regions of Uganda, our feet can only travel so far. So just as Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, we need partners in ministry to help us get where God's calling us to go.
What do your feet look like?
I forgot what I was going to say now.
Square, round,
wait a minute.
Oblong,
wait a minute.
Straight line.
The Feet Squared Project is a multiplication of efforts. Your support enables us to take the gospel where it hasn't gone before. So here's how you can help. We have divided the mission compound down into what it's going to cost per square foot. Now, that mission center is going to have a house for our missionaries, our office, our storage space. It'll be the start of our ministry in that area.
Yep.
It's going to cost us $12.50 per square foot.
$12.50.
And you can buy a square foot and help us build that mission center.
Exactly. And when you come to Uganda with us, you'll have a place to stay. So you might want to buy more than just one square feet, because
square foot. If you want to buy a square foot, you can go to hopescry.com and invest in the work that way. But we also have a brand new exciting way for you to help us kick off this fundraiser. It's a new t-shirt, and it says, I went to Africa. No, it's not that one.
Oh.
It says, I went to Africa without leaving my house.
Yeah.
The t-shirt's $25, and $12.50 of that buys a square foot. So you get to buy a square foot for the Mission Center, and you get a t-shirt. And then when other people ask you about the t-shirt, you can tell them about what's going on in Uganda.
Yeah.
The only place to buy the t-shirt is on Facebook at the top of the Hopes Cry Facebook page. And it's only available for the next 3 weeks online. So help us kick off our fundraiser and build the mission center in Uganda.
Oh, we got land, lots of land.
So I don't think I could stand on a square foot. I might have to buy more than one. I don't know. All right. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to open up with Your Grace Is Enough.
Your grace is enough. Ascended, my Lord, evermore.
rising again.
Dying,
he loved me.
Dying, he saved me.
Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
My soul,
it is well. may be seated.
This morning, I have the privilege of introducing to you Jace Fields. And Jace's dad is Rick. And he's got two grandmas here. He's got Ruby Smith and Debbie Barber. So it's really good to have Jace. 2 weeks ago, Jace walked forward during the morning service, and he told me he wanted to pray. And then afterward, we went to my office, and we talked for a little bit. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. And he's really nervous. Jace is really nervous to be up here in front of you, and he's really glad he doesn't have to talk much. So, Jace, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And you see, Jace today is not receiving salvation. He's already trusted Christ. Christ has already saved him. What's taking place here today is that he is showing his faith to you. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, what happens with Jace today, he's just letting you know that he believes that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. That Jace, his sins were put on the cross with Jesus. We just sang about that. My sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. And that his sins have been nailed to the cross with Jesus, that his sins have been buried in the deepest sea. And that he, when he comes up out of the water, he's showing that he is a new person in Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let Jace's testimony speak to you today. And if you've never been baptized to show your faith, we want to encourage you to do so, because this is a great way for you to take that first step in obeying the Lord. So Jace, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Jace. Lord God, I thank you so much for Jace's statement of faith, that his testimony is that he's trusted you as his Lord and Savior. And it was beautiful, Lord, to listen to him 2 weeks ago. Just pray in his own words and talk to you. And I pray, Lord, that today would be the first step of many in his life that he takes in obedience to you. So, Lord, be with his dad. I pray that you would help him to continue to instruct Jace in the ways of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that we as a church would surround Jace with love and with care, that we would surround Rick with love and care, and that, Lord, as they walk through this journey of life, that they would not have to do so alone, but they would know that they have a church family that's behind them, not just rooting for them, but helping them along the way. So, Lord, it is done as you have commanded this morning, and yet there is room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the ushers could please come forward.
Lord, thank you for the offering today. Lord, thank you for Jace being able to step up and be baptized today. Thank you for the beautiful day, and thank you for the ability we have to come and gather together, Lord. Please bless the offering and bless the people who are donating today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As a child back in Sunday school, I learned this simple truth. Jesus died to take my sin away. And I can still remember when he changed my life way back then. And the cross is just as real to me today. I still believe in the power of the blood Jesus shed on Mount Calvary. And I still hold to the hope that he's gone to prepare a dwelling place for me. And I still
we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as the children are heading out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16, as we begin a series that will take us into December on when Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. See, so many times we just think that Jesus came in the New Testament, and we need to understand that Jesus is God, always has been, always will be, and he actually showed himself in physical form in the Old Testament on a number of occasions. A man was driving along the highway, and he saw a rabbit hopping across the middle of the road. He swerved to avoid hitting the rabbit, but unfortunately, the rabbit jumped in front of the car and was hit. The driver, being a sensitive man as well as an animal lover, pulled over to the side of the road and got out to see what had become of the rabbit. Much to his dismay, the rabbit was dead. The driver felt so awful that he began to cry. And a woman driving down the highway saw the man crying on the side of the road and pulled over. She stepped out of her car and asked the man what was wrong. "I feel terrible," he explained. "I accidentally hit this rabbit and killed it." The woman told the man not to worry. She knew what to do. She went to her car trunk and pulled out a spray can. She walked over to the limp, dead rabbit and sprayed the contents of the can onto the rabbit. Miraculously, the rabbit came to life, jumped up, waved its paw at the two humans, and hopped down the road 50 feet. It turned and waved again and hopped down the road 50 more feet. It turned again, waved, and did this until it was out of sight. The man was astonished. He couldn't figure out what substance could be in the woman's spray can. He ran over to the woman and demanded, "What is in your spray can? What did you spray on that rabbit?" The woman turned the can around so that the man could read the label. It said, "Hairspray. Restores life to dead hair. Adds permanent wave." Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. I feel like we need to pray after that. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has kept me from bearing, I pray, go to my handmaid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I have given my maid into your bosom." And when she saw that she had conceived, "I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you." And Abraham said to Sarah, "Behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as it pleases you." And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where do you come from, and where will you go?" She said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply your seed exceedingly, that it shall not be outnumbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will go against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he will dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And he shall be the, and he shall, and she shall, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, 'You God see me.' For she said, 'I also here look after him that sees me.' Wherefore the well was called Berlai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered." We have here an interesting set of events. Before we dive into it, let's pray together. Lord God, I do pray that you would take control of this service, that your will would be done. And I pray, Lord, that as we listen to what your word teaches us, that we would see the heart that you have for each one of us. And I pray, Lord, if any here do not know Jesus, that today that you would meet them in the wilderness by their road at the fountain so that they could know the grace and love that you have for each one of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try to do something different with my microphone here just a second. You don't want it to pop in your ears the entire message, do you? All right, let's see if that works. So here's what we have. We have this lady named Hagar. It's just not going to work. Could I get a different mic? Or just turn these on. These will pick me up. All right, it's off. Can you hear me? All right. I'll be loud. So Sarah, she's not able to have children. She has this Egyptian handmaid, a servant. She's been her servant for 10 years. And since she can't have children, she says, and God has promised to Abraham that Abraham would be the father of a great nation, not just a great nation, but many nations. And so Sarah believes that the problem is herself. So she says, why don't you take my handmaid, and in my name, my servant will have a child, and this will be how God fulfills his promise. Now, the problem with this thinking is God said that the child would come through Sarah, not through a handmaid. And so this is what happens when we decide to take things into our own hands. Okay, but this message this morning is not about Sarah and Abraham. They definitely have their faults. Okay, men, hopefully this never happens, but if it does, don't fail the test. Okay? Sarah comes to Abraham and says, you know, I can't have children. Why don't you take my servant? Okay? And he's an idiot. Okay. Right? And we're talking about one of the patriarchs of the faith. I mean, when you talk about an Israelite, where do they start? With Abraham. You know, the best of us can fail. The best of us can fall. And Abraham just, he wasn't thinking. Neither one of them were. But this morning, I want to concentrate on Hagar. She's a foreigner. She's an Egyptian. She's not even an Israelite, right? She's not even like in the family of promise. And in this situation, I believe she has no choice. She's forced into something she didn't ask for. And when she gets pregnant, now she is carrying a child she didn't want. And she's supposed to raise it in the name of a person that she despises. And so instead of staying there, see, after Sarah found out that Hagar was pregnant, well, Hagar immediately starts to hate Sarah. You're going to take my baby from me and raise her as and raise him as your own? I mean, she's supposed to be the surrogate, but my goodness, she does not want to be. She begins to hate Sarah. So then Sarah goes to Abraham and says, listen, this is your fault. Now, wait a second. Whose fault is it? It's Abraham's. Men, don't ever push the blame on your wife. Stand up, own it. Just because your wife comes to you and says, hey, I want to buy a $75,000 car, and you're like, I can't afford it. Oh, honey, I want it. And then you buy it, and you're like, oh, I can't believe you did this. No, you did it. She didn't do it. It's your fault. Stand up, take responsibility. Okay? He could have said, no, we're not going to do this. God promised to have a child through you. But he wasn't man enough to do that. And so his response to Sarah is, she's your maid. Do whatever you want. And so Sarah makes Hagar's life miserable. Hagar's not going to take it. She runs. And as she runs, she finds herself at a fountain. Why do you go to a fountain? You go to a fountain because you're looking for water. And while she's there, This is the first time in Scripture that we see the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord will refer not just to Jesus. It will refer to an archangel. It will refer to a death angel. The angel of the Lord will be different angels, different characters. But every once in a while, when you read about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, you can see that it is the pre-incarnate. That means before Jesus came to earth and took on physical form, being born of a woman. The pre-incarnate means before he did that, he came and showed himself in physical form. And that's what Jesus does here. He is this angel of the Lord. And that he meets her. So first of all, where does he meet her? He meets her in a wilderness. This is not where she wanted to be. This is not where any of us want to be in life. We don't want to be in wildernesses. We want to be in our home. We want to be among our people. We want to be with those who love us. But now, Hagar, because she's been mistreated and she runs, she finds herself in the wilderness. She's running away from her problem. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't run away from your problems. If you were in Hagar's shoes and the only representation of the Lord God Jehovah that you knew was Abraham's God is the Lord God Jehovah, you are not going to be a believer in that God. Because Abraham is scum in Hagar's eyes, right? I mean, look what he did to her. And so she's running from a problem. And as she runs, she's trying to flee the difficulty. She's trying to escape. But let me tell you something. Every time we try to run on our own and we try to escape on our own, we find different problems. We find different issues. She's on a road. On this road, she's heading in a direction away from her new home toward her old home. So she's on the road of Shur, which is a road that will take you from Hebron down to Egypt. She's from Egypt. That's where her family is. And so she says, I'm going to leave my new home, where she's been for 10 years, and I will go to my old home. And then she finds herself next to a fountain. Fountain is a place of nourishment and provision that is temporary. Fountains are places of relief, release, and reflection. We all find fountains. Sometimes the fountain is someone who will just listen to you complain about your hardship. Anybody ever gone there? You flee from something, and so what do? You find a fountain, someone who can, you can bend their ear. I don't think a fountain is a bad thing, because we do need to find places where we can go and kind of have relief, to find release, and to reflect. But here's the problem with these fountains. They always leave us thirsty again. Hagar stopped for a drink. She's laying by the fountain. And she'll head down the road and she'll be thirsty again and all of her problems will still be with her. And here's what we do. We wait at these temporary places of respite until a tide turns. And when the tide doesn't turn, we find ourselves in an endless wilderness on an eternal road. And we're never satisfied. This is where our Lord meets us. He meets us when we're in a wilderness, on a road, by a fountain. When I was a sophomore in high school, we showed up to church in southern sunny California in late November. We grabbed a flyer that was being handed out, and it basically informed us that my dad was fired from the church and that we were no longer welcome. couple weeks later, I found myself in Michigan in early December. My flight was rerouted in Chicago because there was too much snow in Kalamazoo for us to land. I was in my wilderness. Michigan in December, when you grow up in Southern California, is a wilderness. You didn't know you were living in a wilderness. No, it's not your wilderness. That was my wilderness. I was on a road I didn't wish to be on. I had to find new opportunities. I had to make new friends. My whole life was turned upside down. I was by a fountain that I was not motivated to drink from. I had temporary comfort because my grandparents, I went to live with them until my parents could move out. My sister was with me. And the temporary comfort, it was just not what I wanted. I mean, the only good thing about the whole situation is I got to know Grandma and Grandpa, which I guess that's a pretty good thing. But at the time, that wasn't really what I wanted out of life. But we did have a lot of nights where we'd take vanilla ice cream, pour in some Nestle Quick, stir it up, and just sit and eat ice cream and watch the evening news. And I look back, and those are some of my best memories of high school, right there. But I was by a fountain. These are the places where God meets us. He meets us in wilderness, on roads, by fountains. Rachel and I had tried to have children for a couple years, and we weren't able to. So we were sitting in a fertility specialist's office discussing our options. This is not where we wanted to be. We didn't make the decision to be there. We were just found ourselves there. Our wilderness was a fertility specialist office rather than at the OBGYN, right? That was our wilderness. The road, we were heading on a path that led to not having children naturally. And it was hard. We were by a fountain. We were at an office that all they could do is say, here's what's wrong. They couldn't make anything happen, even though we tried some various things. Because fountains can't fix our problems. There's one Sunday where we left. This was not here. It was at another church. We left church. We were in tears. There was a major division in the church. Things seemed to be falling apart. A few people decided to go against 98% of the congregation. And over the course of 2 weeks, they were able to subvert and submarine a major church opportunity. They undermined the decision, and it split the church. We were in a wilderness because we didn't have the assets we thought we would have. We were on a road. We were headed in a direction we had not planned. If the vote would have passed, the church would have had more opportunities and greater resources to reach the community. Because of the vote, we were left on a road headed in a direction that we did not plan. We were by a fountain. We were looking for something, some way, just to hold things together. Because sometimes, just to hear, well, God will hold us together, doesn't seem like it's enough. So we were sitting by the fountain, waiting to hear something. Here's what happened with Hagar. As she found herself in the wilderness on the road by the fountain, she found herself there because, first of all, someone else made a decision that she did not consent to. And I think this is a really important part of this entire passage, because we need to understand this truth, that there are decisions that we do not make that force us into the wilderness on a road by a fountain. Sarah, the lady that Hagar answered to, her boss, as you would, planned for Hagar to have a child with Sarah's husband, Abraham. That was her plan. And as soon as Hagar got pregnant, she got mad. Have you ever been asked to do anything at work by somebody who's not very nice to work with? And then when you do it and you do an excellent job, they take all the credit for it. And then they put you down. And like a whole bunch of you are going, oh my goodness, you know what's going on. Because it happens to all of us. Because we all get forced into the wilderness on the road by a fountain. Every single one of us. And it happens all the time. happened to Hagar? Secondly, she became a pawn in another person's scheme. Doesn't that feel awful when you feel like you're just a pawn in someone else's scheme? Where they're devising mischief and they're using you? She was going to have a baby that was supposed to be given to another lady. She was just the surrogate. And the third thing, this is why she found herself in the wilderness on a road by a fountain. She did what was demanded of her, and she was tormented for it. I mean, I think this is the worst kind of wrong that gets done to us, when we do what someone asks us to do, and then they torment us for doing what they asked us to do. Isn't that hard? It's hurtful. But here's what happened with Hagar. Jesus met her there. We're not always the cause for the wilderness. We're not always the cause for the road. We're not always the cause for the fountain situation. Sometimes we do all that we are humanly required to do, and we still find ourselves there. And this is when Jesus steps up. Jesus is ready to meet you there. All right, can I ask you a question? Can you be honest with me? How many of you are in a wilderness? Anybody? Anybody here on a road you don't want to head to? Anybody here sitting by a fountain looking for nourishment, looking for answers, looking for something? You're right where Hagar was. And one of the first appearances of Jesus in human form is to meet with a servant who is an Egyptian. She's not even a Hebrew. You know what that tells me? Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in his sight. And that's not just because he came and died on the cross. It's because he's always felt that way. He came to meet an Egyptian servant, a nobody of nobodies, to give her comfort and peace. So what does he tell her? What does he say to her? His assurances are just really, really simple. He says, go home. Not her first home. Go back to Sarah. Go home. What is he telling her? Don't run. So if some of you are putting your running shoes on to get away from your problem, unlace them. Go home and put your slippers back on and stay home. Go home. Come on, Jesus. Don't you know what she's going through? Don't you know what she's feeling and how hurt she's hurt and how she's been put in an impossible situation? Yes, he knows. And he says, go home. So I'm encouraging you right now. You're in the wilderness and you're thinking about running and continuing that run. No, I'm going to tell you what Jesus told Hagar. Go home. Secondly, he says, submit to Sarah. You mean that awful, wicked, evil lady? The one who devises a plan, and when I am forced into something, then she treats me rudely and yells at me and screams at me and makes me feel so little and so worthless. I'm supposed to go submit to her? Jesus says, yes. Do it. The third thing he tells her, I will take care of you. Look at verse 9 through 12 with me. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress, go home, and submit yourself under her hands. Submit. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly. The that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, you are now a child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. And he will dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, You God see me. For she said, Have I also here looked after and seen him? He says, I'll take care of you. Your son, you're going to have a son. He's going to grow up. Not only that, I will bless. His blessing was that her son would be strong and be a nation of people. Let me just tell you who that nation of people are today. Many of the Arab nations that we read about and see, they are descendants of Ishmael, Ishmaelites. In fact, there's a whole religion now, it's contrary to God, that claims Ishmael as their father. And you know who that is? The Muslim faith. They claim Ishmael, the older son of Abraham, as the father of their faith. Well, how do you get to 6,000 years later and have this? Here's how. God took care of that boy. And he was able to grow up and have a family and have children and be prosperous. And even though people think about the Arabs, okay, and I know this is such a generalized statement, I don't mean to be insensitive, but it seems like there's always conflict and war that they're going through, isn't there? You know why? God said it would happen. But they haven't been wiped off the face of the earth, have they? Because God is with them. And they can turn to him at any moment they want. And if they do, he will receive them to himself. So what Hagar needed to understand is, I will take care of you and I will bless you. Here's the thing. Hagar went home. Not to her old home. She went back. Abraham's home. After she heard the promise, here's what she says. You God see me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that sees me? She was able to see the one who sees and looks after her. This is pretty cool because she got to see Jesus. She understood, the one who sees and looks after me, I got to see him. Some of you are you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, God, if you just let me see you, then I will believe. If you just let me see you, then I will have this faith to go where, to go home, to submit. Then I'll have the faith to trust you. We see Jesus every time we open the Word of God. Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, they didn't have a Bible to look to. All they had was things that people told them or an angel speaking to them. We have actually, the New Testament tells us, we have a more sure word of prophecy than even Hagar had, who had a brief encounter with Jesus face to face, because we have more information given to us through the Word of God. Because let me tell you something about the Word of God. The Word of God is the representation of Jesus that we have today. It's what God wants us to have. The Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have the Word of God. The full counsel of everything that we need to know how to live in life and godliness according to the power of the one who's called us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we may not get to see in physical form, a human form, speaking to us. We have something that's so great because we have this right here. We have God's Word. And God's Word is what we need to know.
and see in Jesus. When Jesus met me in Michigan, the room I stayed in was my uncle's room. He was away in the military, so I got to stay in his room. And I pulled out my Bible, the little red New Testament that my parents gave me when I was 2 years old, and I still used it when I was in high school. And I was reading through, and the Lord said, "You are home. Michigan is your new home." He told me, "Submit. Don't try to go back. Submit to what I'm doing." He said, "I will take care of you and I will bless you." I would never have met my wife if God didn't move me to Michigan. You know, God's got a plan, right? We may not like how that plan moves us and shapes us, but I tell you what, His plan is perfect and right. When Rachel and I were in the doctor's office, told us to go home. Submit. We started looking at adoption. If we wanted children, we couldn't have them naturally. We started looking into it. And He said, "I will take care of you. I will bless you. And even if we didn't have our three beautiful daughters, we would be blessed. And we would be taken care of." But He did choose to allow us to have children. And how awesome it's been to have my three girls. I was going to say two, but all three are awesome. I got a thumbs up from Jenna, so that's good. When the church we were in was hurting and leading them was hard for us, when people who we thought were allies were waffling, here's what God said: "Go home." I wanted to run, didn't I, Rachel? I sent my resume to everywhere in the planet, and nobody even gave me a, I didn't even get a chance to talk to anybody. You know why? Because God said, "Go home." Wasn't what I wanted to hear. God said, "Submit to me." And submitting to Him was really hard, because it meant that I had to stand up and lead people who didn't want to be led. God said, "I'll take care of you, and I will bless you." And I stand here today the man I am because of what we experienced during that season of life. He took us away from the fountain. He took us back home. And as we submit to God, every day we see that He takes care of us, and He blesses us. And the same Jesus, the Word of God, God in the flesh, who came long before He was born as a man, He showed up in the form of a person to meet a distraught, alien servant, and He provided her hope. Today, if you are in the wilderness, on a road, by a fountain, Jesus wants to meet you today, and He wants to provide you hope. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank You for Your word. I thank You for this passage. Lord, it's so encouraging. It's such an awesome thought that You, God, care about every single one of us. And You're not looking at where we came from. You're not looking at who our parents were or who our grandparents were. You're just looking at us, and You're telling us that You want to meet us. Lord, those who are running, help them to go home. Those who are not obeying, help them to submit. Those who doubt You, help them to trust You that You will take care of them. Because, Lord, Your blessings are the best things that we could ever receive in life. So, God, as we close out this service, I pray that you would do a wonderful work in each one of our hearts. Help us to come to the altar of Your grace and say, "God, I just trust You. I receive Your forgiveness, Your help." Lord, if anyone here has never been saved today, Lord, I pray that they would trust You with their life, and today would be the day where they receive the gift of God wrapped in the package of Jesus, that forever You will take care of them and bless. And I pray for the Christian, Lord, who just struggles with the happenings in their life.
Thank you, Lord, today we don't have to bear blame for all of the bad things that happen to us. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to say that when bad things happen, it's because we've been bad. No, Lord, sometimes we're obedient and bad things happen. But I thank you that you will meet us. So today, let this be a fountain. I pray that the temporary help that we are able to offer as people will be met by Jesus Christ and the permanent forever help that you are able to offer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be standing at the front. I'd love to talk to you about trusting Christ. And if God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come and kneel at the altar. Respond however God would have you. Let's stand together as we have this closing song.
Is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Brought your thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Say. forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His blood bought us. As you wait for the crown, tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling.